What's up, Eagle Country? Thanks for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time on your hometown radio station. Eagle Country 99.3 is presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Learn more at OrthoCincy.com. I am your host, Double T, Travis Thayer, and feeling good on this Monday afternoon after that first Bengals playoff win in 31 years. And it is Martin Luther King Day as well, so I do got a couple quotes that I want to read off tonight and try to apply them to the sports world a little bit as well. So the first one: we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. And I do find a parallel with that Bengals win on Saturday, because hope came through the door when they drafted Joe Burrow, and he and his teammates delivering that big win on Saturday against the Las Vegas Raiders. That has me feeling pretty good on this Monday evening. But we got a great show lined up for you tonight, featuring the South Dearborn Knights boys varsity basketball team. Plenty to celebrate with how they've played thus far in this 2021-22 season. We will get to them here in just a few minutes. Have a couple of hometown headlines to get to first, and I want to start with Josie Trable, who recently broke East Central's all-time scoring record as just a junior, had 18 points in a win over Richmond last Thursday, passing Allie McCool on that all-time scoring list. McCool, not too long ago, starred at East Central 2012 through 2016, had 1,185 career points, but Josie, averaging 16 points per game this season, has already eclipsed that, has four more regular season games to go, and hopefully a lengthy postseason run for the Lady Trojans as they seek their third straight sectional championship. So congratulations to Josie. Phenomenal player. A lot of hard work has been put into capturing that all-time scoring record. So you can read a little bit more about that on our website. Also want to say kudos to Lawrenceburg and Columbus North. Those two girls basketball programs came together this past weekend to fight against breast cancer. The two schools raising nearly $3,000 for the iWin Foundation to help breast cancer patients to continue receiving treatment. Columbus North did win the game, but what they did off the floor, both teams certainly winners in that particular instance. East Central Wrestling, first place at the EIAC meet over the weekend. They had seven individuals winning championships. Lawrenceburg had a couple guys that also won championships, but I want to have a specific shout out to South Dearborn's Isaiah Otto, winning the EIAC championship at 132 and was the EIAC MVP. Speaking of wrestling at South Dearborn, Caitlin Fisher, congratulations to you as well. Competing at the Indiana High School Girls State Wrestling Tournament, she went 2-2 and finished in seventh place, the first female wrestler in South Dearborn history to place in the state tournament. And also saw last week that the Ohio Athletic Association, they're starting to recognize girls wrestling and boys volleyball as sports. Hopefully we can have that happen very, very soon in the state of Indiana, as it's becoming more popular here as well. And young ladies like Caitlin Fisher are helping progress girls wrestling here in the state of Indiana. Also wanted to say congratulations to Milan's boys and girls swim teams for capturing the ORBC championships on Saturday. And one more congratulations goes out to Mr. Eli Hoffman, who is sitting in the back corner of the studio here, who eclipsed the 1,000 career point mark on Saturday's game at Greensburg. We will talk to you a little bit more about that as the show rolls on, Eli, but a great accomplishment there for sure. And that is our segue into tonight's guest, the South Dearborn Knights varsity basketball team led by head coach Matthew Colston, here with the entire team tonight. Coach, I'll give you the first chance to talk. Say thanks for coming out. We appreciate you being on the show.
Hey, we're glad you'd have us here.
And we got plenty to talk about with your season thus far. Mainly wanted to have you on after your win at the Rivertown Classic. We'll get to that in just a moment. But let's hear from all the players here. I want to know who you are, what position you play, and what year you are in school. Let's go around the horn here, guys. Step right on up. Let's get comfortable in front of that microphone. Go ahead.
Ryan Willoughby, number 23, junior guard.
Like it. Very good.
Can we say a number?
Yeah, if you want to. Ryan just threw it in there. You can do that, too.
Brody Tiki, one, shooting guard, sophomore.
Some of them probably don't know their numbers by or what year in school they are, to be honest with you.
Corbin McHenry, point guard, senior.
Reese Willoughby, forward, number 23.
All right.
Drew Probst, senior, forward.
Eli Hoffman, number 11, junior, point guard.
Junior? This is looking for another year eligibility. You probably like that, coach.
I think I called and they didn't know what year they were.
Adam Kunkel, sophomore, number 3, forward.
All right.
Evan Meek,
Class of 2022, center.
Very good.
Peyton Hill, sophomore, number 34.
Adam Gaynor, number 20. Ford.
There you go. Couple more. Let's go.
Jake Daugherty, number 33, junior.
Reed Thornton, number 12, forward.
We go.
Yeah, Reed.
One more, or are we good?
Yeah.
Hudson Shackleford, 24, guard.
All right, fantastic. So now we have met the team here, the South Dearborn Knights, and I want to actually back up, go more towards the beginning of the season. You guys participated at the Morristown tournament, and that was a tournament that you won a couple double-digit wins in the first couple of rounds and then run into a pretty good Covenant Christian team who's been really good at the 2A level. You guys came back from 15 down with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Can you describe what that kind of looked like in that championship game?
It looked a little bit like us playing absolutely terrible in the first half and then playing like we should play in the second half. That's basically, good for the kids for not, laying down and, but they dug themselves a hole to begin with that we had to get out of. But they played really well in the second half and really showed a lot of heart to come back and take care of business.
Well, I can tell you from broadcasting a bunch of games over the past 5-6 years, when you see a 15-point deficit in the fourth quarter with that much time left, you kind of look up there and say, well, this game's probably over. How did you guys manage to come back, stay in it, believe that you could come back, and how did you kind of create some havoc to get back in that game in such a short amount of time? Let's go to some of the players here. Ryan, you're good at creating havoc out there, stealing the ball from the opponent. Did you help lead the charge in that game at all?
A little bit, but I fouled out in overtime. I put it all on my teammates' shoulders to get the win for us.
All right. And being down 15, come on, guys. Step on in here and talk about your experience winning the Morristown Championship. Reese, Eli, unbelievable performance. Just tell us a little bit about the emotions of making that great comeback and maybe what that has done to springboard you forward this season.
It all started with our defense, the way Colson has his practice. It's mainly about defense, but our offense struggled a little bit in the first half. What was the halftime score?
We're down 25-15.
Yeah, we only scored 15 points in the first half. We came out strong and put up points as well.
Hit some really big shots.
Yeah, had a game-winning shot.
What was that experience like in a championship scenario to hit a game-winning shot? It's what everybody dreams of, right?
Yeah, there weren't that many people there. It was like an AAU game. It was a holiday tournament. Yeah.
That was a little shocking, the number of people in the championship game. Yeah. But we didn't figure that a private school from Indianapolis would bring too many people anyway. But, our kids, actually, 15 in the fourth. But, we started turning around and start the second half. They just didn't. They didn't score that much in the second half. We just missed a bunch of shots, and then finally some of those easy baskets started going in the fourth quarter for us, and our defense just carried over from there. Really, the first half's what got us in the hole more than anything else, and we just had to eventually make the layups that we had and the open shots that we had, and we did.
And another thing I wanted to allude to in that game, as you're talking about winning the Morristown Championship, coming back like that, unbelievable performance, but how does that springboard you guys going forward? Because you went from that right into the Rivertown Classic and really kind of got on a roll. So has that been a galvanizing thing for you guys, and were you able to create your own energy off of winning that game in front of, eight people or whatever it was? Drew, you want to lead on that a little bit?
Yeah, it definitely helped us. We had a good week of practice after that, getting ready for a switch, and then led into Lawrenceburg and we won.
And I think a lot of people make a big deal out of the Rivertown Classic. I know it's just another one of the boxes you guys want to check off on a yearly basis. You now won it 2 years in a row. And that first-round game, I had the pleasure of calling all the games at the Rivertown, thinking about taking a residency up at South Dearborn High School. But Switzerland County could really score the basketball, a really impressive freshman in Cam Craig, a couple good guards. And you guys were able to hold them down pretty well in that first game, held them to 39. Again, you guys hang your hat on the defensive end, so what can you say about that first-round performance against a team that can really score the ball? Reese?
We knew they only had a couple good players, so we knew if we shut them down, we would basically win the game. So that's basically what we expect.
All right. Drew, Ryan, somebody want to add in on that for the Swiss game?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
I mean, the ball pressure, I thought, was unbelievable. It is in almost every game that you guys play. But
we try to talk a lot about, you know, just next game. The biggest game of the season is the next game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as far as momentum and stuff, you know, getting those wins in those tournaments, let those kids know, everybody know that they do the right things every day, the process, good things will end up happening. And also, you know, talk about being 15 points down. I've been around a long time. I've seen, and I've been in part of it, where you're up a lot, you're down a lot. And, you know, sometimes that Uncle Mo, that momentum just goes your way in the right spot, you know. So the game's never over until the game's over, so.
All right, we'll skip past that Switzerland County game because maybe the one that's more fresh on the mind is the championship game against Lawrenceburg. Were you guys glad to see the Tigers in that championship game? Is that the team that you wanted to beat when the bracket came out? Everyone's shaking their head. All right, that's good. So another just incredible defense performance. I'm sitting over there broadcasting the game. It's 6-4 at the end of the first quarter. You guys had to like where you're at. What was the feeling coming over to the bench after that first quarter being 6-4? Because people in the gym were like, never quite seen something like this in a championship game.
Very tired.
Yeah. Exhausted from the defensive pressure. Intensity. Okay, so fast forward to the second quarter. It's much of the same. You guys are playing at your pace, which is part of the game plan, I would think. And give them credit where credit's due. Garrett Yoon hits one of the more incredible shots you're going to see in a high school basketball game, and you find yourself down one at halftime. Was that just a situation where you kind of shook your head and said, hey, if that's the kind of shots they're going to make, we're okay in this game? Is that kind of what the thought? Take us into the locker room at halftime of the Rivertown Classic Championship game.
I mean, definitely affected the momentum, but we knew that, like, that was a lucky shot. You know, it's going to happen, so.
And do you know that that was the only 3-point made basket that they had all night long?
Yes.
You're very aware of that?
I mean, that's part of what we really stress hard on, running people off the 3-point line with the way that we play defense. We want to force them in certain areas on the court. And so, you know, kid hits. He's a very good shooter. So mm-hmm. we wanted to make sure he was not going to get open looks. And he got a few there in the fourth quarter, luckily, when the game was kind of already decided, that still we didn't want him to see. But, you know, like that three-quarter court shot, there's been a lot of times this year where people have scored off of deflections that go in their hands and things like that that, you know, you can't control. The only thing we need to worry about, you know, need to worry about referees, that type of thing, how slick the floor is, control mm-hmm. what you can control. And our kids are starting to learn that.
Well, you definitely controlled that second half against Lawrenceburg, 12-7 in the third quarter, and then 19-7 in the fourth, so 31-14 overall in that second half. Eli, you were kind of steady Eddie throughout the whole entire game on the offensive side of the ball when scoring was kind of limited. Drew, we're going to get to you, too, because you helped in that regard as well, but talk a little bit about your demeanor out there on the court, because you just always play so under control, and you never look like you're bothered by too much.
No, I mean, they're definitely putting the pressure on me, but just, I just try to stay cool and calm, don't let the refs or the fans get in my head. I was tired out there because we give pour our blood and sweat out there on defense and go on offense, and we run through it for a minute or two. I get tired, but just got to stay strong and consistent.
And Drew, looking at the stat sheet, we know that you're not a big-time scorer, but certainly capable. And you came up huge in that Rivertown Classic game. Like I said, when points were tough to come by, you were finding your opportunities and making them count. Talk a little bit about your performance in the championship game.
I mean, got to give it to Reese. I think he hit me like 3 or 4 times. So that was nice underneath the basket, and I just kind of put it in the hole and made some free throws down the stretch. But that's about it.
And I'm glad you mentioned Reese, because I wanted to get to him as well. End up being the MVP of the tournament. Obviously a fantastic game against Switzerland County. Weren't doing any scoring in the first half, but still helping your team with the assist and the rebounds, the blocks, the steals, right. Things like that. And then you found some openings in the second half. How good did that feel? Because you went on a heater there towards the end of the game and really kind of sealed the deal for your team.
Oh, yeah, right. So we teach that when defense, it leads to offense. So I just got fired up about how offense can lead to defense too. So we just feed off that. We just feed off the fast breaks, and once we go to work, we can really find what's deep in ourselves.
And I will say this: I think the three you hit from the left wing, as my dad likes to call it, the backbreaker in that game. 7-point lead seemed like 20 in that game, Coach.
Yeah, well, when it's 30 to 20, whatever, the 7-point is like in a middle school game. But, you know, we opened up a little bit there in the fourth quarter, and that's kind of part of the plan, too, is to wear them out as well. And, you know, part of our offensive problems, too, is we get tired playing defense. We play so hard on defense, but it's a necessary thing right now for us, for sure.
You know, Ryan, I know you kind of head up some of that stuff on the defense with how incredibly hard you play. Made the all-tourney team. How'd that feel for you?
It was good. I knew that I wasn't putting up great numbers on the offensive side that game. I had to step it up on defense. It's kind of hard when your best looks are at the basket and a 6'8 kid just standing right there.
Sure. But it goes to show you that you can make an impact on the floor in other aspects, and that is what good teams do. So congratulations to you, Reese, and Eli for being on the all-tourney team. I do want to tell you, Drew, I gave you a vote for the all-tourney team based on your performance in the championship. I thought you at least deserved some sort of mention there, because that was awesome. And as a whole team effort, great job there at the Rivertown back-to-back champions. We'll have one final thought on that before we move on. I know it might seem like a smaller goal in the grand scheme of things. You want to go on, be sectional champs, and make deep runs in the postseason. But winning that Rivertown Classic for the second straight year, you now have 9 overall. South Dearborn's got the most on the boys' side. Does that make you guys feel proud to carry on what's been a really nice tradition of winning at the Rivertown and getting back to that? Because 2013 was the last time before you won it last year. So just kind of put that into some thoughts on what that means to you to be able to win that 2 years in a row. I mean, seniors, this was your last go-around at the Rivertown, so you're going out a champion there. It's got to feel pretty good, right?
It does feel pretty good. We just have to leave a legacy as seniors and just tell these guys that they can, whatever they put their mind to, they can do it as well.
All right, very good. Let's move on from the Rivertown Classic. Plenty to get to. We're talking to the South Dearborn Knights boys varsity basketball team. This is Crunch Time, presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state, orthocincy.com. So, supposed to have 2 games over the weekend. Didn't get to play Connor on Friday. Went up to Greensburg. Always a tough team to play. Tough place to play in the EIAC. 56-46 was the final. What were some lessons learned from that game, Coach?
Greensburg's pretty good. That's one of the first ones. And we didn't play as well as we needed to play. But, you know, I'm not an excuse guy in any way whatsoever. But with that being said, we're pretty banged up going up there. Eli's missed school all week and was not himself. And Reese rolled his ankle. And, yeah, I mean, he didn't practice today. It's black and blue. And he really probably shouldn't have played on it, but he gutted through it, which I'm really proud of these kids for fighting through that stuff. But, you know, with those two down, it made it tough. And I think, you know, we had the lead for a long portion of that game. We're down 3 with 2 minutes left. And they got a 6-point lead with about a minute and a half or so left, and we had to foul, and then that's what made it a 56-46 game, 48-42, I believe, when we were full out fouling. But you know, the Greensburg's really good; they're really talented. I think that we can play with them for sure. I'd like to be 100% next time we see them, and I really hope we see them and Connorsville, to be honest with you, in the sectional.
Two teams that you've already played thus far this season, and from the outside looking in, look like you're very competitive with those two teams who have been, you know, quote-unquote, at the top of the sectional for several years. You've also played Franklin County and Lawrenceburg, beating those two teams. Seems like that group of 5, and I don't want to count out Batesville or Rushville at all either, but those 5 that I just mentioned seem like everything's pretty close between those teams. This seems to be one of the most open sectionals maybe in a while.
Well, Batesville's had some injuries, so they're going to be a tough win too. I mean, you're right. This our sectional, our conference is pretty tough this year. And you know, Connorsville and Greensburg are 2 of the better teams in the state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Greensburg's 2 of their losses. One of their losses is like 1 point to Connorsville. The other 2, they were missing 3 starters. So I mean, you know, they had 3 kids out at the time, and Connorsville obviously has done what they've done. So you're looking at the 3A. Those are 2 of the better teams in the state. And I think, you know, when we're playing the way we're capable, we're right there with them. Lawrenceburg's very good, very talented. Franklin County, same thing. I mean, we went over there and played well against them, and you know, they've been on a roll. I don't think they've lost since they lost to Lawrenceburg, us mm-hmm. in Lawrenceburg. I think they've won every game since then.
Yep.
You know, it's a long season. Hopefully we are getting better as we go, and we're playing our best basketball at the end of the year.
And for the players, I'm sure you can echo the sentiments of your coach. You feel like you can be very competitive and beat any team on the schedule, including those that are you're going to see in the sectional?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Simple and easy. Yeah. I like it. I mean, all right. That's what we're
And I think we all of us want Connor. We want definitely want Connorsville. Like we know where the sectional is going to go through. It's going to go through Connorsville and Greensburg. So one of those two, you're going to beat. You're going to have to beat if you're going to win, and you're probably going to have to beat both of them if you're going to win it. So yeah. You know, we're happy with that. We're ready for that challenge for sure.
All right, speaking of a challenge, well, actually, we are not going to get there yet because we got to go back to Eli here because you finally did eclipse that 1,000 career point mark against Greensburg. I know you would have liked to have that in a win. Maybe in the back of your mind you would have liked to have it at the Rivertown. I don't know. Take us through eclipsing that goal. What's that mean to you? A lot of hard work, I assume, has been gone into that.
Obviously, yeah, it's a great milestone. I obviously would have wanted to get it at home, maybe in the championship game. Instead, I got it at Greensburg, but wouldn't have been able to do it without my teammates and just the way Coach runs his offense. So, yeah, it's a great feeling.
Are you glad to kind of put it in the rearview mirror and play now? How much were you thinking about
when I was thinking about there? It during the game? I mean, every second I had the ball. I think I only had 4 points going into the fourth quarter, but, I mean, I knew I was going to get it eventually, but yeah, it's a great feeling and a great accomplishment.
And for your teammates, how aware of it were you guys? Were you trying to force feed Eli a little bit, or just running the offense like you need to?
I knew he was close, but I didn't know he was that close.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it in the game. I was just playing.
Right, and
I knew he needed five.
Needed five,
yeah.
And to see him accomplish that, you guys have been playing together for quite some time. What's it like to see a teammate have some great success like that?
Pretty special.
Very special. Reese, how about you? You've been playing with Eli for a long time. What do you think?
He's a really good player, and I wish him the best.
All right, very good.
What? Did he leave you today?
Wish him the best the rest of the season. He wants to score another 1,000. How about you, Coach? What can you say about Eli?
I had no idea he was close to 1,000 points. I don't really pay attention that much. Well, Mr. Walston had that covered. He had that up on his board upstairs, and he just was going to tell me when he got there, and I don't. That doesn't factor in. I've been fortunate enough to coach. Of course, they play a lot more games in Illinois, but I've coached a bunch of kids who got 1,000 points, and it's not easy,
mm-hmm.
especially when you play less games here in Indiana. So, you know, it's a good accomplishment, and it's something to definitely be proud of. You know, and usually when you got 1,000 point scorers, you have team success. So.
All right, and the challenge I was alluding to, you got one coming up this week, another EIAC game taking on East Central on Wednesday. We will be there to call that game on your hometown radio station. Early impressions of the Trojans and what you're going to be running into on Wednesday?
They're going to be physical. I mean, they're going to be physical, and they're going to be fundamental. They do a great job over there of getting their kids to play the right way. So, you know, we need to make sure that we are guarding them and that we're physical back with them and that we put the ball in the basket a little bit too. We got to be ready to play. It's going to be definitely going to be a game that we can win, but we have to do what we need to do to do so.
All right, and for the players, last year you guys were able to beat East Central. It was the first time in a little bit. This is a school that's largely kind of run roughshod over all the other area schools in many sports for a long, long time. So is there a part of you that's starting to put that in the rear view and saying that this is going to be a team that we expect to beat on a yearly basis?
Well, I mean, I'm not from here, so I could care less about that kind of stuff, to be honest with you. And when we tell, you know, we're playing the players. We're not playing the name on the jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make a difference if what that says. You know, you could throw some third graders out here in a Chicago Bulls outfit, and they're not going to be the Chicago Bulls. You know, you got to know who you're playing and take care of business. So the name on the jersey doesn't matter. It's the team that you're playing that we need to be worried about and take care of business with the kids that we're playing against.
All right, like I said, we'll be out there on Wednesday for that EIAC matchup, 7:10 pregame coverage, 7:30 tip from South Dearborn High School. I think this will be my 10th game to call at South Dearborn this year.
Hey, if you're going to move out there, make sure you get a foreign exchange student, preferably like a Nowitzki brother or something out there with us.
I can just stay on one of those nice new couches up in the cafeteria. Things looking great up there now. So I know they don't look super comfortable, but play along, guys. All right, so let's move away from the basketball talk here to end the show, because we were kind of chatting off the air. We got some Bengals fans in the house here. Raise your hand. Who's our resident Bengal fan? All right, so
bandwagon.
Pretty much a majority of the team, minus a few.
Literally have never heard one word about the Bengals until this week. So,
and that's why I got a couple questions. I want to first ask how aware, if at all, any of you were that the Bengals had not won a playoff game in 31 years. Drew, football guy, talk to me a little bit.
Yeah, we're pretty aware. I mean, we all watched on the way up there and in the locker room.
And in pregame.
We all knew what was going on, and when they won, it was pretty cool.
All right, my next question is, do you already feel spoiled as a Bengal fan, knowing that many fans, I myself included, have waited 31 years, yes, I'm older than that, 31 years for the Bengals to win a playoff game? Do you feel entitled or spoiled already as a Bengals fan?
A little bit spoiled, but something to get used to.
It is something to get used to. Reese, what can we expect from these Bengals in the playoffs?
They're going to stop Derrick Henry.
They're going to stop Derrick Henry on Saturday. All right, so that means they're going to advance to the AFC Championship. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, they're going to play the Bills in the AFC Championship.
They're going to play the Bills in the AFC Championship. And since you're playing Nostradamus right now, who are they going to play in the Super Bowl?
The San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, I like that, because if you know your Bengals history, that's the team that's been tripping them up in the big game there, huh? So wouldn't it be something if they come full circle there? Does anybody know who they beat the last time in the playoffs?
Oilers.
Very good. T-shirt for you when we get off the air.
Who was the quarterback for the Oilers?
One Moon.
Hey. Hey. Impressive.
Now, who's James Naismith?
Oh, my God, James.
That might be a good way to end it, huh, Coach?
Yeah, when you have to Google who invented basketball, it's never probably a good thing.
Actually, I guess I did have one more thing that popped into my mind. You guys got to visit the Hoosiers gym a little bit earlier this year. How was that experience?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And everyone's seen the movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we had to make a couple kids watch the movie.
Who struggled to watch it?
I still haven't watched it.
You still haven't? Evan haven't watched it? All right, well, lapse at practice until you start watching it. All right, guys, I think that's it. You guys good?
Mm-hmm.
All talked out here tonight. We're just going to see you in action on Wednesday. Be out there for the East Central matchup. Coach, appreciate you bringing the crew through. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks for having us.
All right, another edition of Crunch Time in the books here on this Monday evening. Of course, Martin Luther King Day. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. You can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. And that's how we're going to end it tonight. Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.